Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wei Wei Jia. I'm currently working in HKEO as a research assistant. Today, I'm pleased to present vMigrator, an efficient system solution to mitigate I/O inactivity problem. This work is collaborated among Hong Kong University, New Jersey Institute of Technology, Facebook. Hong Kong University, New Jersey Institute of Technology, Facebook, and Huawei. In clouds, virtual machines are often consolidated in order to improve resource utilization, ease management, and save energy. For instance, in this figure, two VMs are consolidated and share resources of one physical machine. In physical machine, as shown in this slide, there are four physical CPUs. PCPUs are the hardware resources. In VM 1 and 2, there are four vCPUs respectively. In each VM, virtual CPUs are processors, and IOO CPU threads are running on them. In VMM layer, vCPUs are threads. These threads are scheduled and descheduled periodically. Let me show you how these vCPUs are shared. For example, in VM1, vCPU1, and VM2, vCPU1, share PCPU1. In time period T0 to T1, vCPU1 in VM1 is running on PCPU1. In time T1 to T2, vCPU1 in VM1 is descheduled, and vCPU1 in VM2 is scheduled. In the next time period, vCPU1 in VM1 is rescheduled. vCPU1 in VM1 and VM2 are scheduled to time share PCPU1. This can improve resource utilization and is often the real-world practice in clouds. However, vCPU inactivity causes a severe I/O inactivity problem, which is understudied by the literature. Let me explain how this happens. When vCPU1 in VM1 is inactive, all tasks of HDFS on this vCPU cannot make progress. When the vCPU1 is inactive, the IO device is underutilized as shown in the red finger. Many existing works focus on CPU inactivity problem, but none of them explain IO inactivity problem. I will explain these related works in a few slides. The underutilization causes low IO performance in VMs. As shown in the figure, IO performance of HDFS in vanilla KVM degrades by around 50% compared with that in bare metal. Even when VM2, shown in the red of this finger, does not use IO devices. Even worse, IO inactivity problem makes the IO scheduler in the host OS unfair between VMs, even though they are allocated the same IO bandwidth by the host. In a physical machine, when a user is running Spark with HDFS, and the other user is running MongoDB, HDFS and MongoDB can achieve almost the same I/O throughput on bare metal. This is because their priorities are higher and can make progress as long as they have I/O requests. The results are shown in the red finger. Therefore, they have the fair I/O bandwidth. Unfortunately, when Spark and HDFS are running in VM1 and MongoDB is running in VM2, even though VM1 and 2 are allocated the same I/O bandwidth, they have big I/O bandwidth difference. Let me explain why this happens. In VM1, Spark compute bound tasks use up the time slices, so HDFS I/O bound application uses less time share. But in VM2, MongoDB can make progress as long as it has I/O requests, because the time slices of vCPUs do not exhaust by compute bound tasks. Existing works mitigate vCPU inactivity problem, but they ignore I/O inactivity problem, because I/O activities are coupled with vCPU scheduling. For vanilla KVM, vCPU is scheduled and descheduled periodically, as shown in blue line. I/O activity is presented by the black line. We can see from this finger. When the vCPU is active, I/O tasks can make progress as long as they have I/O requests. But when the vCPU is inactive, I/O tasks cannot be processed. For vSlicer, another type of related systems, it shortens time slices of vCPUs, so the latency of I/O tasks is shorter compared with vanilla KVM. Xploon prioritizes I/O tasks, so more I/O requests are handled when the vCPU is active. On bare metal, I/O activity is the ideal case. I/O tasks can make progress as long as they have I/O requests. In the first three cases, I/O activity is the ideal case. I/O tasks can make progress. In the first three cases, as shown vanilla KVM, vSlicer, and Xploon, I/O activities are coupled with the vCPU scheduling, represented by the blue line. So the blue line coupled the I/O scheduling. So a natural question is, can we decouple I/O activities from vCPU scheduling, like a bare metal case? Our answer is yes. Our key observation is that each VM often has active vCPUs, so we can migrate I/O tasks to these vCPUs. Therefore, I/O tasks can make progress like running on bare metal. The migration can be efficient because I/O bound tasks usually have small working size in cache. We propose vMigrator, an efficient system solution to mitigate I/O inactivity problem. vMigrator includes three components in the guest OS. When it finds vCPU 1 is to be descheduled, it migrates I/O bound tasks to a vCPU with enough remaining time slices. vCPU 3 in the finger. So vMigrator is very easy to use because it does not need to change in, to change the code of applications or VMM. vMigrator has three implementation challenges. First, it needs to detect I/O bound tasks with a high accuracy because some fast devices such as SSD can handle I/O requests within many seconds. Besides, some applications may also have frequent bursty I/O requests, even within microseconds. However, existing resource monitors such as Linux Top, I/O Top, are not accurate because they update I/O statistics based on system timer. The accuracy of system timer is above milliseconds. We design and implement an event-driven method to detect I/O events in Linux block I/O layer within one parent. If the fraction between the time handling I/O events and the parent, we find the fraction is big enough, the tasks are I/O bound. Second, vMigrator needs to monitor inactive and active vCPUs. Most people can get a naive approach to do that in VMM layer, but may not secure and portable. Therefore, we design and implement a heartbeat-like approach which regards timer events as heartbeats. When a vCPU is active, it can handle timer events within vCPU's active parent. So the start timer and the end timer difference within the vCPU's active parent, as I showed in the previous slides, can be used to solve this challenge. Third, migrate I/O tasks to which vCPU? The naive approach is to migrate I/O tasks to a vCPU with the longest remaining time slices, but this may cause the concurrency problem and even overload the vCPU. The concurrency problem is because if we migrate the I/O task to one vCPU, the I/O task may not send I/O request concurrently. We design and implement a global balanced way. It ranks I/O tasks and vCPUs according to their I/O load and remaining time slices, respectively. Then, migrate the heaviest I/O task to the vCPU with the longest remaining time slices. Migrate all other I/O tasks to vCPUs correspondingly. Our evaluation conducted on a Dell PowerEdge server with 12 cores, 1 TB HDD and SSD. Both VM and VMM use Ubuntu 16.04, and the VMM is Linux KVM. Each VM has 12 vCPUs and 4 GB DRAM. We also compare vMigrator with vSlicer and XBalloon. We evaluate vMigrator on 7 widely used applications, including HDFS, LevelDB, MeteorTom, HBase, Postmark, NGINX, and MongoDB. Our evaluation answers 6 questions. I will explain the first 3 of them. The first one is performance improvement compared with vanilla KVM, vSlicer, and XBalloon. The second one is, can vMigrator help I/O scheduler to achieve fairness between VMs? The third one is the robustness of vMigrator. You can read our paper to learn more the remaining evaluation questions. The finger shows the application throughput normalized to bare metal. The x-axis is different applications. The y-axis is the normalized throughputs. overall, when four vCPUs share one PCPU, vMigrator's performance is often almost as fast as bare metal. vMigrator is about 2 times faster than vanilla KVM, vSlicer, and XBalloon. Let's analyze HDFS to see why vMigrator is faster. vMigrator incurs small I/O inactivity periods compared with vanilla KVM, vSlicer, and XBalloon. The small I/O inactivity periods of vMigrator are spent on detecting I/O bound tasks and migrating them. Let's analyze Meteor time to see why vMigrator throughput is not as good as other 6 applications. vMigrator has big I/O inactivity periods on Meteor time because Meteor time combines computation and I/O in each thread. This causes each thread to have a large working size, so the migration cost of vMigrator on Meteor time is higher than that on the other 6 applications. However, for Meteor time, the other 2 relevant systems, vSlicer and XBalloon, do not perform well either. Overall, these results suggest that vMigrator works the best when an application does computation and I/O using different threads. When an application such as Meteor time does computation and I/O on the same thread, no systems work well so far. We have more performance analysis results in our paper. Please read our paper if you are interested. We also evaluate the fairness of vMigrator. On a vanilla KVM, because the Spark uses most time slices, causing VM2's I/O throughput much lower than VM1's. When we run the setting with vMigrator, because I/O bound tasks are always migrated to active vCPUs in both VM1 and VM2, both 2 VMs achieve similar and fair I/O bandwidths. We also evaluate vMigrator's performance on changing workloads. When a VM's workloads change significantly, vMigrator needs time to reestimate the remaining time slices of vCPUs. In this figure, we run a Hadoop in 8 client connections initially to submit jobs. When 4 more connections are added at the 4th second, vMigrator incurs Hadoop's temporary performance job. But it goes back to the stable hand performance within half second. Overall, vMigrator is robust to workload variation. We also add some other clients at the 8th second and 11th second to show the robustness of vMigrator. Now we conclude. I/O inactivity causes severe performance degradation and I/O scheduler unfairness for VMs. vMigrator effectively migrates I/O inactivity. vMigrator effectively mitigates I/O inactivity and thus improves the throughput of many applications compared with vanilla KVM and relevant vCPU scheduling systems, such as vSlicer and XBalloon, as I show in this presentation. vMigrator is open source. You can access our source code from the link. Thank you for your listening, and please do take any questions. Thank you.
Any questions? Actually, I have one question, very interesting one. If I understand correctly, your paper mostly talk about the case of the storage-related workload, right?
I'm sorry.
Storage related workload, storage workload for the IO operations, right?
Oh, so your question, do you mean our people mostly solve the IO problems?
In storage system.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I'm wondering if your approach can be extended to the other types of IO operations, such as network operations?
Oh, maybe, because we talked about IO operations. Because IO operations is often sparse, so we can work for that. But we may need some further exploration. This is our future work.
Hi, Dale Lewis, Blizzard Entertainment. A really interesting study. One question I did have, though, was what about for large, dense systems with lots of spinning disks or even non-spinning disks that have CPU bound to specific lanes in the, for the buses?
I'm sorry. So your question is whether our system works for the intensive computation workloads.
More for very dense storage devices with lots of disks, where you have certain CPUs can only access and memory channels can only access specific disks.
Oh, so your question is, does our vMigrator work for the several disks or a lot of disks concurrently? Yes, in our evaluation, we test for four disks. We use read to access disk concurrently. VMigrator works for your case.
Okay, thanks.